You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, I spoke with Bronwyn Hayward, a professor in the Political Science Department at the University of Canterbury and a member of the IPCC Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, about how the 2022 budget could address climate change. Now that the budget has been released, to update our discussion, we had another chat about the government's efforts to combat climate change through their allocation of funding. The Emissions Reduction Plan is set to spend $2.9 billion from the Emergency Response Fund. I first asked how substantial this investment is.
In relative terms, this is probably the biggest investment we have ever spent in climate in the last 30 years. And it's the first time that there's been a real focus on climate as a central piece of the budget. Not that you would know that from the media reporting, because the budget is walking a tightrope between dealing with the short-term cost of living crisis and inflation, which is the same in most countries at the moment, as well as preparing and investing in the country for the long-term big risks, particularly in health and in climate. And it's really been the health and the cost of living that's dominated the conversation. But for climate, this is probably our most significant budget ever.
How has the cost of living crisis affected New Zealand's ability to respond to climate change? Has it had a big impact this year, or is it more of a media attention thing?
It has had a big impact in two ways. One is that we have a real problem in New Zealand and in many democracies, but especially in New Zealand where we have a three-year election cycle, we have a really big problem getting any long-term vision and planning. So when you have these immediate crises and pressure, when people are feeling literally under the pump because of the cost of their fuel right now, because of the cost of their supermarket bills right now, because of the cost of their rent, and they're worrying about their job security, it's very hard to say, oh, and by the way, this big storm like we've just had this morning, or the big floods we're having, this is climate change, and we're needing to be investing in that as well. But there is actually an important link between the two debates, because what the IPCC climate panel has shown is that investing in your most vulnerable and ensuring that you have good social support, so that you have social income support, you have good education, good health, is one of the key ways to ensure that your communities can weather the big storms that are already happening and are to come. So some of the innovations in the budget, particularly around reducing the costs of public transport by half permanently for those who are on community service cards, that will make a really significant difference in terms of both reducing emissions and helping people who are vulnerable in a changing climate. So will investing in warmer homes for low-income communities. The short-term fix of introducing half-price public bus fares and transport fares while we are also subsidising fossil fuels to get through Ukraine-Russia's war is important, because it is trying to offset the effect of trying to spend more on our fuel. But at the same time, we also need to be investing longer term in active transport, in making sure that we can get around our cities as well as our country in ways that don't rely on fuel.
How does the investment in climate funding compare to what was expected? Does it meet or miss expectations?
I would probably have a different view from most commentators in that, and I'm not sure if it's just because I've been worrying about it for 30 years. So for me, I'm quietly optimistic that at least we finally are starting to have a plan for action. There's huge debate about whether or not we should have spent so much money in more research and development for agriculture. But we need to be sure that that research investment in agriculture, particularly the new over $300 million investment in agricultural research, does reduce emissions. But at the same time, we've seen this rise of really reactionary rural groups like Groundswell, and whichever government was in power needs to support new thinking in agriculture and the groups like Federated Farmers that can actually broker an agreement and bridge these big divides, because if they didn't spend this money, my feeling is that it would have really weakened the position of Federated Farmers and a lot of the organisations who are trying to get some bridges in agricultural policy. And I think the big conversation that we still have to have as a country is we are going to have to start thinking about how we support the transition away from high methane, high nitrogen agriculture. And that may include thinking about subsidies, which since 1984, Labor and successive governments have refused to do. And we're actually probably going to have to start thinking about a just transition in agriculture as well as in other sectors. That's going to be a difficult debate. So this is an interim step in the budget towards thinking about what is the future of agriculture going to look like that's not so heavily reliant on dairy and so heavily reliant on high greenhouse gas emissions.
You said you were quietly optimistic about the government's position in this budget. Is there any area of emissions reductions or affecting climate change that was notably not included?
I think overall, one of the surprising things is that we haven't really had a very clear conversation about the way in which we need to think about our strategic assets, our ports, and our big investments in new legislation next year around strategic assets, how that they're going to be protected and also sensitive to not producing new emissions and also protected in a changing climate. So it would have been good to have more of that conversation. We have seen, however, a signalling of investments in ports, and we've seen a signalling of investments in a longer-term transition. I think what's lost in this debate is that there is a real problem now for the opposition to actually show how it can credibly reduce emissions and protect people in a context of what it's appearing to do, which is a kind of an austerity. I thought that the debate was very interesting in Parliament yesterday when Minister Shaw accused the opposition of going back to a Ruth Richardson kind of austerity budget. It is surprising to me that they are not building on the more recent past of social investments under Key and English. They're going for this kind of tax cut and less spending in public services at a time when actually we do need to think about social investments in the long term. So I'm hopeful about the current budget, but I am anxious about the long term if we can't get both parties getting over their, major parties, over their politics and actually thinking about how we secure people and their future.
Was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.